You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 187. And I thought for today we'd go on a theme, reframe the gift of life. For several reasons, partly because as we record this, but it's still only January in 2017. So there's kind of a nice feeling of how can we start the new year? What the gift of life is a beautiful way to start. How can we look at the year ahead? How can we maybe reframe the year ahead? Or particularly, how can we reframe what we get from our dreams to ensure that this year pans out to be the best that it can possibly be? And partly I also picked this theme because a few people have been asking me for more help with dream alchemy, what it is and how to actually use it. It's a complicated subject. We take little bites at it each podcast that we do, but I've put together three blogs that I wrote during 2016 that I think fit really neatly together to address this subject. So reframe the gift of life. Before we start, of course, just a reminder of the website and the social media links. If you haven't been to my website for a long time, do go, janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. And find me on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, all over the place, really. So let's go ahead with today. Reframe the gift of life. A question of reframe. I wrote this one in February 2016. So if you want to go and read it as well, go to my blog at janetheresa.com, look up February 2016 and you'll find it. A question of reframe. To reframe or not to reframe? That is the question. How does reframing a situation help you deal with a sea of trouble? Are there times when it's more important to delve into that sea with eyes wide open, to feel it, to know it, to resolve it and heal it, rather than to pretty it up? Or might you delve into that troubled sea with eyes tight shut in sleep, perchance to dream a clearer understanding of why you perceive trouble in the first place? I'll leave reframing Shakespeare, but let's begin with that troubled sea. Last month, we enjoyed a holiday by the sea in South Australia. Most days, we walked along the beaches early in the morning light, late in the evening towards sunset, and sometimes in the glorious hot sunshine of the day. These are amongst the most beautiful beaches in the world. Long stretches of sand, clear turquoise blue water. It was deep summer, so most days were luxuriously warm. But, being South Australia, some days were also whipped by cold Antarctic winds. On a couple of days when the weather was a bit wild, we stuck to our evening beach walk, wrapped in several layers of clothing, leaning into the wind one way, lifted off our feet the other way, our faces buffeted by stinging, salty sand. For a brief moment, it reminded me of being by the sea in Scotland. And so then, wham, I imagined we were enjoying a blustery walk along a Scottish beach. I was transported by the magic immediately with no travel cost and no jet lag. Body and mind, I was in Scotland on a beach I loved long ago, not a drop of rain in sight. Reframing that situation was easy and harmless. I was reframing my experience of a weather-troubled sea, not any inner emotional sea of troubles. And I got a bonus jet-lag-free, travel-time-free, cost-free trip to Scotland as well. There's a pose in yoga that began to get to me late last year. It's a simple pose, but one I didn't enjoy doing. It was uncomfortable. It's chair pose and involves squatting down as if you're sitting on a chair while extending your arms up beside your ears. I had done it happily for years, but the extended holds and perhaps squatting more deeply than I had done before began to elicit a negative response. As soon as chair pose was announced, I would hear myself think, in expletives. So I decided to reframe. I imagined sitting on a golden seat, feeling the solid support beneath my thighs, lifting my arms up in joy to embrace this moment of rest. The reframing changed the feel of the pose, but the more important outcome was that it helped me to get into the pose more deeply, a kind of surrender that encouraged the physical changes my body needed to make me feel more comfortable in the pose. The yoga pose was hardly a troubled emotional sea either, but the story shows how reframing a situation you don't like can go beyond transforming a dislike into a like. It can create deep change that promotes growth and eliminates pain. One of the weirdest pain reframes that I have ever done was perhaps my first. I was aged about 7, sitting in the dentist's chair having a tooth drilled. This was back in the day when dental anaesthetics didn't work that well, and you could still feel every grinding vibration of the squealing drill. I hadn't heard about reframing, but the unexpected pain drove me there. This was my 7-year-old attempt. I told myself things could be worse. I could be in the jungle having my legs sawn off without anaesthetic. This dental drilling in a safe environment would easily be endured in the face of that. It worked. Perhaps it worked because my attention was diverted towards creating the alternative undesirable experience. As I write this, I realize the things could be a lot worse statement was something my mother used to say, as was, do something to take your mind off it. So my approach wasn't so original after all. It was due to programming, taking on the beliefs and framings of my mother. My dental reframing has stayed with me as a useful tool in many areas of my life, as well as for its practical application in the dentist's chair. I rarely accept anaesthetic for simple dental procedures and instead reframe the situation as an opportunity to lay back in a comfortable recliner and enjoy total relaxation. It works. I get to practice identifying any physical tension and letting it go, and I emerge from the chair feeling totally refreshed and able to smile and speak properly without numb lips. Reframing is a valuable life skill that can lift us up when we're feeling low, motivate and inspire us to discover new meaning and purpose, and enable us to see solutions where before we saw problems, light where we saw dark. But is there a downside to reframing in some circumstances? Might you sometimes choose to see something through a frame that makes you feel better, while the issue at heart remains unresolved or slides from bad to worse? Might your reframing of your job be stopping you from talking to your employer about a raise, dealing with a work issue, or finding a new way of making money? Might your reframing of a relationship be blocking the opportunity to acknowledge, resolve, and heal a relationship issue? Might your reframing of an addiction tighten its hold? Might your reframing blind you to what you need to know and address? Of course, it's all about your choice of reframe of the painful situation. One reframe might block acknowledgement of the issue at heart, while a different reframe gives you purpose and the resources you need to acknowledge, address, and resolve the issue. From birth, we begin to acquire our individual frames of perspective, our beliefs about the world. We learn, consciously and unconsciously, from our parents, guardians, relatives, friends, schools, cultures, the media, our personal experiences. We build our mindsets, our individual, complex, interconnected frames through which we further experience our lives. Night by night, dream by dream. We process our experiences and either consolidate or change that mindset. When you know how to understand your dreams, you gain deep insight into your mindset, the various and often unconscious frames through which you perceive and interact with the world. It's here that you can effectively sort through your framing and do an inventory, keeping those helpful frames and acknowledging and transforming, reframing, the less helpful or damaging ones. Dream alchemy is the tool of choice for reframing at this deep level if you want to see long-lasting healing change. So moving on from that and further exploring the topic, I'm now going to read you a blog I wrote in May 2016 called Human and Humane. Human and Humane. Everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer. And when you think about your more worrying dreams, that may feel scary. You might be happy to acknowledge the things that flatter you, the wise old woman you met in a dream as your wisdom, the exciting new rooms you discover in a dream house as the exciting new ways in which you're growing in the world, the soaring eagle as your ability to fly high and rise above. You might be happy to acknowledge the things you already know about yourself reflected in your dreams. The steep dream staircase you climbed as the steep challenges you set yourself. The dog that follows you everywhere in your dream as your loyalty. Or the dark and broody dream clouds as a dark broodiness that you know besets you from time to time. But what about the bitchy gossip, the snapping crocodile, or the knife-wielding killer in your dreams? You don't see yourself as a bitchy gossip. You're the last person to snap at anyone, and you're not even going to think about how a killer of any kind might relate to you. How do these fit with the prompt that everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer? I'm using simple examples here, and it may come across as a dream dictionary approach, with dogs representing loyalty, eagles representing soaring, and steep staircases representing challenges, but dream symbols cannot be interpreted by consulting a dream dictionary. Dream dictionaries can be extremely misleading. Symbols are as unique as the dreaming minds that create them, and the dog that follows you in your dream might have a different connotation to the dog that follows me in mine. My feelings about dogs, their personalities, and why they're following me are likely to be quite different to yours. If you see dogs as loyal, they may represent something about your feelings and beliefs about loyalty. If I see dogs as dependent, they may represent something about my feelings and beliefs about dependency. It takes work to uncover the meaning of a dream symbol. An eye for seeing the big picture, the way the dream symbols interact, the dynamics within the dream drama helps. There are many tools and techniques to apply in this work, but that bottom line, that everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer, is worth courageously adhering to. It's courage, especially in looking into those apparently darker symbols, the bitchy gossip, the snapping crocodile, the killer, that nourishes personal and spiritual growth. As someone who recently explored a dream with me wrote to me afterwards, I gained insight into my behaviour, which only helps me gain insight into others. So when I interact with them, I can do so with more compassion than criticism. This is what helps me become human and humane. I agree. Compassion is the greatest gift of understanding our dreams. Compassion born of illuminating our shadows in all their human heartfelt glory. Compassion born of embracing all that makes us human. So what might that bishy gossip represent for someone who never gossips? She might represent the bitchy gossip you hold down or deeply repress. You might have been raised to believe you shouldn't gossip. So every bitchy, gossipy thought you couldn't help having has been bundled down into your unconscious, where it can occasionally be heard in your dreams. The danger here is that what you repress within yourself, you readily see and harshly and critically judge in other people. When a dream awakens you to the bitchy gossip in your unconscious basement, you begin to understand why you are so carefully pristine in your communication. Such a dream will usually help you to identify the origin of your harsh self-judgment, and this new awareness begins the shift toward accepting yourself for the wonderful human you are and extending compassion towards yourself for the original situation that caused you to repress certain feelings. Awareness helps release your prisoner, and from that point on, the bitch is gone. So is the carefully applied pristine approach to all your communications. Your communication style becomes more vibrant, more real, freer in its expression, and naturally free also from any hint of bitchy gossip. Once you have compassion for yourself, you have greater compassion for others. That crocodile might represent your fear of real or imagined unseen dangers lurking beneath the surface of a situation, or it might represent a snappy aspect of your personality, an instinct to bite when you find yourself on the defense. That snappy side might be something you know about, or it might, like the bitchy gossip example, be something you've buried deep, in horror, determined to always be sweetly embracing and accommodating. When you acknowledge what your snappy dream crocodile represents about you, compassion grows. Not all is as it seems. That wise woman you were happy to acknowledge as your wisdom might, when you analyze the dream, turn out to be a know-it-all. Or you might discover, when you look at the overall dream, that your wise woman is stagnating in your basement, repressed in favor of a belief that you should appear naive or defer to the knowledge of others. That knife-wielding killer may represent a way you've got of killing off a great idea before it gets started, or killing off a budding relationship for fear of intimacy, or a tendency to be two-faced, to stick the knife in when a person's back is turned. You may recognize the knife-wielding killer as someone you feel is out to get you, to stick the knife in your back, but even if you're right, ask yourself why the situation has come to this. What might the killer represent about you? And how can understanding this throw light on your current situation? Dream analysis, while sounding perhaps dry, gives the gift of life. It reveals the shadows in your basement that hold you hostage, the bitchy gossip that drains your voice of colour, the knife-wielding killer that leaves you defenceless or fearful of trusting, the wise woman whose expression is stifled. It helps you to acknowledge, embrace, and free your shadows from their hold over you. It brings you easeful vitality, authenticity, and greater compassion for yourself and for others. Dream analysis makes us more human and humane. And lastly in this trio, and moving on to the dream alchemy, specifically, this is one I wrote in November 2016 called Don't Kill the Wicked Witch. Don't kill the wicked witch. You might wake from a dream of a weapon-wielding alien invader, a murderer in the shadows, a saber-toothed tiger poised to pounce, or a wicked witch casting evil spells, and, knowing a little about dream alchemy and the power of reimagining your dream with a positive ending, decide to kill or vanish the dark force. It seems logical, and it's what a parent in less enlightened times might have advised a child waking up from a nightmare. Superhero your way to a happy ending, draw your weapon, strike or banish the enemy, go confidently and securely into your waking life day. But stop right there. Killing the Wicked Witch puts your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health at risk. There is a better way. Everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer, and the courageous, heroic journey is not to kill, attack, or banish, but to explore the insight and wisdom these dark and scary dream symbols and dramas offer. To communicate with them, to reach new understanding, to find light, to heal, to transform the symbol and the dream drama, and, in doing so, to transform yourself and your life. That wicked witch represents something about you. So to kill her is to create a hole or void in your psyche, to risk emotional, mental, or spiritual numbness in the shape of depression, reduced vitality, or, more subtly, a sense that something is missing. What might the Wicked Witch represent? There's no one-symbol-fits-all approach to meaningful dream analysis. Any dream symbol needs to be read in the context of the dream story, the dream drama, and to be understood in relation to the dreamer's conscious and unconscious life experiences, but to give some ideas. If she's casting evil spells, she might represent the dreamer's unconscious drive towards self-sabotage, the spells perhaps being the patterns the dreamer blindly follows as if spellbound to defeat success. She might represent the dreamer's conscious or unconscious tendency to see the worst in situations and people, to judge, predict, or create negative, evil outcomes. The Wicked Witch might represent a fabulous quality, innovative, creative vision, or strong, persuasive communication skills, perhaps, that the dreamer judges as negative or too powerful to risk using in her life. Whatever the Wicked Witch, alien invader, murderer, or saber-toothed tiger represent, there is always light to be found in the darkness once your eyes and mind adjust to the shadows. In dream alchemy, the secret is to transform the Wicked Witch. Dream alchemy is a process that involves working with a symbol or drama from your dream to rewire your brain or reprogram your unconscious mind. Once you've explored and interpreted your dream, you choose a symbol or drama that represents an unconscious aspect of your mindset that you'd like to change. Perhaps a limiting belief or pattern, an unresolved issue, a stuck emotion needing healing, and apply the process. Since the dream symbols and dramas were expressed by your unconscious mind, when you work with them in dream alchemy, you are effectively communicating with your unconscious mind in its own language. You are powerfully placed to mediate rewiring, reprogramming, transformation. There's much to learn about the art of creating powerful, effective dream alchemy, but one of the top key rules to follow is don't kill the Wicked Witch. Now you know why. The aim is to keep, reclaim, or build a whole and healthy psyche. When you reimagine your dream in dream alchemy, transform the Wicked Witch into a good witch, a good fairy, a wise elder, a loving light, or whatever encapsulates the essence of the change you want to bring. Your unconscious mind will take the cue and follow through. You'll begin to see your waking life transforming as if by magic, as all the light that had been locked up in the dark is released to shine upon your world. So I hope that today's show has indeed produce some light to shine upon your world and begin your new year. Reminding you of the links, my website, janetheresa.com, and of course, find me on social media. If you're not signed up to DreamSight News, which is a newsletter which goes to your inbox on the last day of every month, you might want to do that. So the moment you go to janetheresa.com on any page for the first time, you'll see a pop-up sign up box thingy come up and invite you to sign up for DreamSite News, and you only get the email on the last day of each month. And that include links to the blogs that have come out during the month and the Dream Show episodes that have come out during the month. It also includes some of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes that you otherwise don't get to find out about, but what I'm doing in the world of dreams and in life in general. And I also, from time to time, offer discounts on some of my services, so you might want to sign up if you like involving me in your life by having me do consultations with you or various other services and products that I have on offer. So sign up for DreamSite News if you're not already, for all of the above. The next episode, episode 188, will be out on the 3rd of March, and remember that many of our Dream Show episodes involve having a guest on the show with a dream for me to interpret. So if you'd like to be a guest on the show, go to janetheresa.com, go to podcasts on the menu, and you'll see on the drop-down box a how to be a guest on the show or be a guest on the show, something like that. Fill in the form, it comes straight to me, and you might like to be a guest on the show. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Have a wonderful month, and I'll see you for episode 188. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.